Blog Talk Radio.
Have every night.
Hey, Dr. John, we can't hear you.
It's cutting out really bad. We can't hear you.
Hello. Hello. Is anyone there?
Yes, I'm here.
I'm here.
Okay, so it's just me.
I think we're having some signal issues maybe for Dr. John.
So it sounds like, yeah.
All right, well, I'm just going to pick this up because we have people on air. So, Dr. John, if you're on, like, please just feel free to come back in. I don't know what to do with this because he's the host of our show here.
Do you know the topic? Do you know the topic for tonight, Matt?
I do not, so.
Okay, I do.
You do. Perfect. Go for it.
Yeah. Okay, so tonight, guys,
well,
we're going to be talking.
Dr. John is back. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, we got you.
All right.
Good. Sometimes the old technology doesn't work. Anyway, it's great to be here, and we've got Matt on, and we've got Keith on, and we've got Tori on, and so glad to have everybody here. And now tonight, Keith has got a great topic that he wants to lead us in. Thank you, Keith. So what is it? Tell us about it.
Funny you log back on to say that because I was literally just about to call Matt. So the topic we're going to be talking about tonight is setting boundaries. So tell us about setting boundaries.
Now I'm standing here with a beautiful moon and beautiful clouds in Myrtle Beach, and tell me about setting boundaries.
Well, setting boundaries is something very freaking important because a lot of us are people pleasers and we don't do a good job of setting boundaries with people, and we don't set healthy boundaries even with ourselves. You know, a lot of us just kind of go through life and just kind of float along, and then, you know, we end up sabotaging ourselves. And instead of saying, you know what, why am I feeling this way? And why am I letting myself be walked all over by people? So I went through for a walk in the woods today, and you know, because in my life, I've been a people pleaser for a long freaking time, and I recently started setting boundaries with people, and I lost people in my life because of it, but I feel like it's the right thing to do. So, and I'm sure you guys kind of know what I'm saying. Like, when your heart is telling you that you're being taken advantage of by somebody, you know, just learn to listen to it and say what you're willing to put up with and what you're not willing to put up with people, with, you know, situations. I mean, even in a work situation, like if you're working 60 hours a week or 70 hours a week and you're drained, I mean, set a boundary and say that you're not going to do that anymore. You know, if you're feeling like you're just wasting your time and you're unhappy with yourself and unhappy with your life, you know, look at yourself and look at where you need to set a boundary with it. And like I was speaking about a minute ago, you know, with yourself too. I mean, be careful with the kinds of thoughts and emotions you let into yourself, because you can bring some really dark, I've struggled with it for a long time. You know, I let some dark emotions into my life, and they they've ruled me for many, many years. And it's today it's still hard to kick a lot of these things, you know? So we got to, it's good to feel, but you need to have a limit on to what you're going to put yourself through and then say, you know what, I need to shift out of this and start to, you know, practice positive visualization, start to practice, you know, positive things like good listening to good quality music, or if you can play music, play some music. But yeah, that's basically a short of my video that I made earlier today in the woods and what I was thinking about. So let's turn it over to either Tori, Matt, or Dr. John to talk a little bit about some boundaries and setting them.
Okay, this is Dr. John, and I will say that setting boundaries has to do with expectations. It has to do with expectations of what you expect people to do for you and be for you. Now, if you expect them to be a certain way, which can be good, then I think if you let them know, because I mean, Keith, I mean, we were talking about this earlier. You know, I expect great things. I really expect great things out of you. And so far, I have gotten nothing but great things out of you. And some of my friends, like the Amazing Velvet that I run a wrestling podcast with, I expect great things out of him. I mean, for a guy that is on chemotherapy and everything, I mean, I expect great things out of him, and I get them. So I think it's important to let people know what you expect from them, and if they're the right kind of people, then you'll get it from them. And if they're not, well, you won't. So, you know, I hope that helps. But expectations of people and letting them know what you expect from them. Tori, what do you think about that?
Well, I would have to agree to a certain extent. I think that we all have these boundaries and expectations, but maybe we're not always clear with them, and I think that a lot of problems could be headed off if people are a little more communicative about those things up front, even when they're just getting to know someone, whether it's a romantic relationship, a friendship, a family member, or even, like Keith said, even with like a work situation, as long as the expectations are clear, then no one's going to feel like their boundaries are violated. And I think that that is really super important. I think that Keith brought up a good point about people pleasing. We get a lot of that. We have caretaker personalities, and, you know, we can sort of let our own boundaries or standards slide sometimes because we just want to make everyone else happy. Like, that's a primary drive, to care a lot about everyone else. And, you know, a lot of times we think, oh, well, it's okay this time. This time I'll just let it go. But this time turns into every time. And, you know, it can become important to sort of take that back a little bit, you know, take a step back and reevaluate that and say, wow, you know, this is not making me very happy to constantly be giving that up, to constantly be letting my boundaries become crossed because I didn't want to speak up or I didn't want to be clear about my expectations. Why? Because I was afraid their feelings would be hurt, or I wanted to avoid a conflict. And, yeah, I think it's super important. I know that for myself, every time I let a boundary like that be crossed and I don't stand up for myself, then it damages my self-respect. And that damages my self-image, and it just sort of cascades from there. It has like this domino effect of awfulness, and then I end up feeling miserable. And so I think that by and large, everyone wants everyone to be happy, and we can save ourselves a lot of heartache just by being our true authentic selves and speaking our truth from a place of strength and saying, hey, you know what, it's like not a big deal, but hey, this is a thing, and let's talk about that because this made me feel some kind of way about something. And anyway, I guess that's how I feel about boundaries and expectations.
I mean, that's a very interesting thing. Matt, what do you think about boundaries? And how can you comment on what Tori said?
Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much, Dr. John, for having us tonight. I really enjoyed the shares from Keith, yourself, as well as Tori. You know, this is actually a really big topic, and I'm not sure if Keith sort of branched off or got this idea to do this based on the topic we talked about last night within the context of the Vulnerability School Project. However, I definitely see some overlap, and I certainly hope that we can get into that in a little bit. But being really personal is something that has been a part of my life for some time is the necessity of applying such boundary as it relates to familial conflict. And within that context, I love that we're talking about this topic because literally I have drawn boundaries with various family members to not reach out to me, for example. And 2 minutes before our show started, I see that they actually crossed that boundary. So it's quite perfect timing if I do say so myself. You know, it is a lack of respect from other people when they cross that boundary. So in that regard, I completely agree with Tori. And when you cave to the request that you put forth, then you deny your own respect to yourself. As such, it's very important to adhere to the guidelines you put forth. And when you stay consistent, then you stay consistent with your own respect. And that way, other people will respect you as well. It all starts with yourself. If you don't respect yourself, then you can't expect other people to do that as well. As such, I think it's important that you set boundaries and you let people know where you stand on how you feel. So that is my response to Tori as well as my own personal share. Thank you, Dr. Dumb.
Well, sure. And I'll tell you what, I did something. I did a little experiment with Keith. Are you still with us, Keith?
Yeah, I'm here. What's up?
Okay, good. I did an experiment with him, and I thought it was a very positive experiment. I said, you know, Keith, we've known each other for 3 weeks, and we have become very good friends. And I said, Keith, you have 5 minutes to ask me any question you want. Any question you want, and I'll tell you the truth. And we had a few questions, and then Keith started talking about relationships and friendships because that's what we have. And it was very interesting. It became less about the probing questions of me and just about how we're friends. And I thought it was absolutely wonderful. I said, well, I'll give you 3 more questions and I'll give you a week to answer. And it just didn't matter. It became a very positive experience. And it came from his boundaries thing because I said, you know, I don't really care. Anybody can ask me anything they want. And it was a very, very wonderful experience. So Keith, I've got to say that we had a good time talking, and I answered as much as I could, and it was all good. And I think sometimes people need to be very just be honest, and you can ask them anything, and and they should be able to answer it. And that, the, you know, sometimes boundaries are not really boundaries. They are just, it's just part of your life.
Well, ultimately, in the end, I feel like they are supposed to be that way, where it's just something natural. And when someone crosses the boundary, you're like, okay, well, that's not going to fly anymore. And I feel like it's very important for us to, when someone crosses a boundary, that we need to speak up about it. We can't. Was that a Matt or Tori that was saying something on those lines where you can't let people do it. But yeah. Pass it
okay,
over
now
to,
explain. Please explain a little bit more about what we can't let people do. I think that's a good topic. That's a good subtopic here. What can't we let people do?
Ultimately, I mean, what we're doing in life is we're trying to find happiness, and we're trying to find, we're trying to find self-love, ultimately, I feel. And when we cave in ourselves to cater to other people, it's okay to do it every now and then, but when we feel like we're just being walked on by somebody, you know, we're not respecting ourselves, and you're not loving yourself if you're doing that. That's not something good for, it's not good for yourself ultimately. So it's important to, you know, be honest with yourself ultimately in the end. You know, we're living in a crazy world right now, and you know, it feels like everything is falling around all of us right now. You know, everything in the everything all over the world. So something else I feel is important is, even though we're setting a boundary. Yeah, Matt, we were talking about this last night. We were definitely talking about this last night, and I was wondering why it was in my head today. That's interesting. But I feel like it's so important to be kind. Even if someone crosses a boundary, you know, do the best you can to be kind to them. So with that being said, either John, Tori, or Matt, if there's something you'd like to add, feel free to add.
I'd like to ask Tori this question. What do you think about, how does kindness work in setting a boundary? And then I'm going to ask Matt. Then I'll tell my viewpoint. So, Tori, how does kindness work in setting a boundary?
Well, I believe that some people would say that they have a hard time because they don't want to upset someone, right? But there are actually very clear ways to set boundaries and still be kind about it. I think that it's actually being unkind to let those things go unspoken, because everyone ends up being hurt in the end by it. You know, because you become sort of very unhappy, you know, and that's not respecting you, and if you're not respecting you, you're not respecting other people either. And kindness comes into it because, I mean, you can very easily tell someone, hey, you know what, this thing happened and it made me feel this way, and I'd really like to talk to you about it, you know, so that we can, you know, solve the problem or avoid it in the future, or maybe you can tell me your viewpoint and let's talk it out. You know, that you can easily do that as long as both parties are willing to just have an adult conversation. I mean, I know with some people that might be difficult, but if you just keep asserting yourself, eventually you'll get there to where you can have that type of communication. And if you can't, then that person might not be in alignment with you. They might not be a good fit to, you know, continue to maintain a relationship with that person. So that would be my answer to that question. Thank you so much.
Well, that's a wonderful answer. Now, Matt, what do you think about the take on kindness to make things work out?
That is that's a really good answer by both Keith and Tori. I have a little bit of a different perspective. I believe that kindness is typically the best remedy for success in this regard. Some situations, though, are mighty difficult to do that, and sometimes acting in a little bit more of a pugnacious manner sometimes is what is required to create the shift necessary to create the shift that you want. And that's maybe not the most ideal way of going about things, but I've noticed in my own life that I've had numerous experiences. It's like I'm almost like a magnet for this type of stuff within actually my family. But a lot of times you come at it in a very gentle, very soft, very kind approach, there's no movement. And then all of a sudden you explode, and then, oh, bam, now all of a sudden we're making changes. So is that the ideal way of approaching things? Absolutely not. Is it sometimes necessary to put a little bit of chutzpah in the way that you approach something? Absolutely. So that's what I'd like to add to the table. And thank you, Keith, for that excellent question.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a wonderful thing. I can tell you, I have got two friends that are certified schizophrenic. And I don't know if you've ever had a schizophrenic friend, but they're very difficult to deal with. And all I have to do is be nice to them, is agree with them a little bit, and then they become so easy to deal with. And I think, you know, maybe more people are schizophrenic than we think. But, you know, all you have to do is be a little bit nice to them, And they just melt, and they become kind. Their problems go away with when they're talking with you and everything. And I think it's very important. So I did it today. I had a friend that was just he's crazy. Pardon my grammar. He's crazy as hell. And all I had to do was be nice to him. And all of a sudden, everything changed. So I think being kind to someone, I mean, if you can't be kind to them and they respond properly, well, you better figure out that they're not worth talking to. But if you can be kind to them and they get better and better and better, I think it's a good thing. There was a... when I was in the Junior Chamber of Commerce, the JCs, there was a lady. She was the sixth president of the JCETs. This is back in the day when there were ladies that did, you know, organizations, and so anyway, she talked about. There were a couple of them that went to a mental institution, and all they did was talk to the people that were there, and they were kind to them. And they had to stop doing it after a year because all those folks ended up leaving because they were well. All they needed was a little bit of kindness. And that's something that's always stuck with me. Is a little bit of kindness can just change the world.
Wow.
Someone having a little bit of kindness can can change the world. And they were right. I hope I can find her one day. I hope she hasn't passed away. It was one of the greatest it was one of the greatest addresses that I ever heard. But a little bit of kindness can change the world. So just be nice to people, and you won't believe what you'll get in return. Matt, do you think I'm correct?
I believe, so I come from a very unique situation, right? And kind of I want to expand a little bit more on what I said, that, and I feel like Tori can maybe validate this, because as we talked about on air, Tori and I are very, very good friends. I have noticed within the context of my own family that when I'm actually kind, I get a worse response than when I'm not kind. So I have sort of a very unique and probably not very healthy perspective. I'm not saying that I engage in that. I try to, you know, I've done a lot of healing work, and obviously to be in a position that I'm in, you know, certainly I wouldn't be where I'm at with the vulnerability. But I guess really the main point of what I'm going at here is that not everybody responds to kindness. And that's a sad reality that I feel like I'm drawn to put forth here. With that said, 95% of healthy, you know, normal functioning people, absolutely, kindness is the go-to. Kindness is always, always, always what we need to strive for. I am somebody who does believe in world peace. I believe in love. I believe in joy. And I think we should always be striving for that love and that kindness. So from an idealistic standpoint, I completely agree with you, Dr. John. It's just hard for me to unequivocally state that based on what I've seen within the context of my own family.
You know, it's really funny because my family doesn't respond to that as well. But other people do. I guess you and I have very interesting families, but heck with them. We'll forget about them, and then we can think about the people that do respond to it. They're wonderful.
Absolutely. And Tori, I feel like you have something to add to that as well. Is that right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I would definitely say that Matt is absolutely correct about interactions with the people in his family being completely ineffective when he's kind. And I think that's so unfortunate. And I wish it was not that way. It sounds like your family's in a similar boat there, Dr. John, and that's just heartbreaking.
And I love what you said, Doctor. Oh, I'm sorry, Tori.
No, you're good. I'm done.
Yeah, I love what you said, Dr. John. It's like I'm the same as you, Dr. John. That's probably how we've attracted each other in some way, how we've come together and built this podcast, and that's probably a similarity we both have. And I find that, too. I operate with kindness to everyone else online and the different social media platforms in daily life and every aspect. Everyone else seems to respond very, very well to my kindness. Yeah, we have a few people here and there who just have off days or they get triggered by something. But it's amazing that the people that we grew up with, the people that raised us, somehow just they just don't respond to it. So I completely resonate with you, Dr. John, on that.
It's like, oh, well, you know, whatever. If they don't resonate, that's fine. But for the people that do, it brings you billion-dollar relationships. It really does.
Priceless.
And,
really.
And I think it's important to have those billion-dollar relationships, those people that you really love, that you care about, and you'll just do anything for. So that's what I've got to say. Keith, what do you think?
I think a lot of things, and then I don't think a lot of other things.
Okay, well, elucidate. Tell us about those.
I also kind of relate to you guys, too. I have a difficult family. I used to just be very kind to them and try to do things that way. And then it got to a point where I was tired of being walked on and disrespected. So I started letting them know how I really felt about things. And I kind of lost relationships from it, but in the end, I feel like it's the right thing to do. Like even in a family situation, I feel like family's just a word, but family are those that will have your back no matter what. You know what I mean? Like, I have more family. What?
I said real family will have your back
no
matter
real.
What.
Yes. And I feel like I have more family that are friends than that are actual blood. You know, the amount of family, blood family members that I actually communicate with, it's very few. We have very different perspectives on life, and they aren't willing to meet me in the middle, and they don't give me the respect as a man to formulate my own opinions on things, or I should just say facts, but you know, a lot of people nowadays are brainwashed from what they hear on the TVs, but yeah, what is what it is. But yeah, I think that I've been so blessed to have certain people in my life and friends mainly, but even family and even the people that trigger you, the people that make you have to establish your boundaries. I mean, you know, it's an important thing to have. And, you know, ultimately, you know, it's a learning experience in life to have to undergo those traumatic experiences. It teaches you so much about life, and it can help you grow in so many different situations. You know, it correlates to every little aspect of your life. You know, setting boundaries. It's so important. It's helped me grow a lot. And you know, and I still make mistakes. You know, I still let my boundaries down for certain people, and I still wish that I didn't say the things that I said to certain people at times. But you know, at the end of the day, it's like, you know, that's how I felt at that time. And I feel like Tori was saying, I believe it was Tori, she's saying about being clarifying, on the lines of clarifying your boundaries, being very specific with them. But I feel like your boundaries shift based off the circumstance and based off of how you're feeling. You know, if you have a really long day and you come home to your significant other is just pitching up a storm, you know, you're not going to be very kind and understanding to them. And if you're having a great, fantastic day, you know, and you're able to go and, you know, just a complete stranger will vent to you, and you can just hold some space for them. And it's really a beautiful thing. So thank you so much for letting me say all that. feel like I've said a lot this this podcast. So would anyone like to add anything to what I was saying?
Well, I'm sure that we have, you know, Matt and Tori. Tori, you seem to be the focal point because you've really given us a lot of things to think about. Do you mind sharing some more with us?
Yeah. Do you have any questions specifically that I maybe haven't covered? Are we looking for just another perspective?
Just another perspective would be great.
Okay, so I think, so I guess I would speak a little bit to maybe the deeper conflicts that can happen when there are people that are resistant to kindness, who don't want to make that shift or cooperate with you in finding a resolution. There are people who really don't give a rip if you're happy or not. They're there to do what they're there to do, and they don't really care about anybody but themselves. Unfortunately, that does exist. I don't think that that's most people, but it does happen. We had it happen in a clubhouse room where someone came in just to be passive aggressive and cause trouble. And they were not responding to the kindness that was offered to them and the polite way out that was offered to them. So it ended up having to, you know, go to different measures to sort of boot them out. And that was unfortunate. But like that and like some family situations where, you know, sometimes people aren't interested in how you feel about things, but it's still important to keep your boundaries and keep that self-respect, you know, and say, this is something that I won't tolerate, and, you know, you don't have to be mean about it. You can be respectful and be, you know, like with all due respect and whatever love is appropriate for the situation. But this is what's true for me, and I'm going to, you know, have to discontinue communications with you. If this is the way that it's going to be, it would just be best for everybody involved and just sort of let it go. Because sometimes we do have to let relationships go, and I really super appreciate you guys bringing up the whole, you know, real family versus biological family thing, too, because I do believe that some of the best relationships that people will ever find are the people that they make meaningful connections with that, you know, are not necessarily their birth family. And those can be the people that really have your back for your whole life. And, you know, I certainly have had that experience. I would say definitely put your energy where it's going to be returned, you know, where it's going to be returned to you. I guess that's what I have to say about it.
Okay, well, that's interesting. Matt, what do you have to say about this?
Yeah, I want to expand on this point that Tori brought forth regarding the clubhouse. We had a very successful event this past Thursday where we had 331 people tune in over the course of our 7-hour event. I was really fired up by the immense growth that we've had throughout our events. And we had an individual who came on with a group of friends, and they had a coordinated plan to derail our event. And they did that because I turned this individual down for a request for a date. I mean, how ridiculous is that? And they brought forth a group of friends to sabotage our event. And it wasn't fully apparent that that was what was going on, but as the comments were direct at me and the few of the friends that were associated were also making these comments, we had to take action because the culture of the room became very uncomfortable. And the way that I chose to respond was to be firm, but to be kind. And that kindness led, in my view, to maintaining the integrity of our space. Because what we do is we try to keep a space that is safe and welcoming. And it could have been a situation that I handled the situation with, you know, disgust and vitriol, but I stayed really calm. And as such, people stayed. We had, I believe actually everyone stayed in the room. Is that accurate, Tori?
Yeah, everybody stayed, except for the ones that got booted out.
Yeah, we kicked them out, we blocked them, and we made a report to Clubhouse. But the point is that people stayed because of how I handled it. You know, I think that if I handled it with anger, we would have lost the room. And, you know, I think that's a really good example that when we take the high road, whether it's seen or not, we do reap the rewards of that kindness. And, you know, was I triggered? Absolutely. You know, I was very uncomfortable with the whole situation, and that did reverberate throughout the evening. But I had so much kindness that was shown back to me, and I was forthright throughout that process of the night of saying, you know what, this situation really bothered me. And I was met with an unequivocally laudable response in terms of how I handled that, and this unwavering love and support thrown back to me. So that was really welcomed and certainly necessary throughout the duration of the night. So in sum, I think that kindness comes back to you, and kindness does have its rewards. So that's what I would like to add to that.
It certainly does. Kindness does have its rewards. And we can be very, you know, fortunate in how we not approach. I'm trying to think the word, but just how we meet these obligations with kindness. That's very important. It really is. So what I'd like to do is, we've had some good thoughts. I'd like to have each one of you to, as we close this, to tell us about, what really makes things work for you in terms of kindness, in terms of whatever. So we're going to start with Matt, and then we're going to go with Tori, and then we're going to go with Keith. So, Matt, what makes all of this work for you?
I'd like to throw that back to you, Dr. John, first. I'd love to have you answer that question so I can get a little bit more clarity in terms of what you're asking.
Okay, I guess what I've found out, I guess, in my short life is that the more kind you are, the nicer you are to people, the more you get back from them. You really do. And you don't have to worry about things. You don't have to worry about vitriol. You don't have to worry about bad things from people. You just, the more you are kind to them, even though they are not nice to you, you get great things back from them. At least that's, what I've experienced. What about you?
I love that, Dr. John. I believe firmly in the quote, smile at the world, and the world smiles back at you. When you put kindness out, you get kindness back. And, yes, as we've
I agree with that 100%. Please continue.
Absolutely. And, yes, we've outlined select scenarios where, you know, for whatever, you know, pathology or whatever else, there's a, you know, a subset of people that you just can't reach. But by and large, you're fine. You're at 99% of the people you can.
Right.
The fact is, what you put out comes back. And we should always be striving for that love, that kindness, that optimism. And that vibe is infectious. And like I said, when you get that, you end up getting it back. So go out there, be unique, be positive, smile at that stranger, hold that door open for someone you don't know, and go out and do a good job. Because you will find that that comes back to you. Thanks, Dr. John.
Absolutely. I'm a firm believer in that. Tori, what do you think?
I also am a firm believer in that. I think, in fact, sometimes one of the nicest things that I can do to make myself feel better is just go out and perform random acts of kindness. You'd be amazed at how uplifting that can be. And that's just, you know, spreading kindness. It works. What you put out comes back to you. It's just, it works that way. It works that way for everything.
Well, it does. I'm sorry for interjecting that, but absolutely it does.
Yeah, I mean, I guess with the limited time we have, I'm not sure how long-winded you want me to be. But, yeah, I mean, that's been an experience in my life. Just it's constantly an ebb and flow and a give and take. And if you put out what you want to get back, it does come back to you. So put out good things. Put out kindness. Set your boundaries. And everything will be fine.
Well, I think you're 100% right. I mean, it's very important that you set your boundaries, but you put out kindness, and people will be amazed at what they get. Keith, what do you think?
Well, I'm going to have to agree with them. You know, there's a saying in Hermeticism, as above, so below, you know. And, you know, I feel like the way I perceive it is, you know, the mind and the body are connected, and, you know, the mind and the world are connected. So whatever you give, I might be using this reference wrong, but, you know, it's like the law of attraction thing. But what I've noticed in my life is when I'm kind to other people, or when I'm in a good mood, the world shows that back to me. And when I'm in a shitty mood, or if I'm angry and I'm you know, being hostile. You know, I used to be quite angry and hostile towards others due to, you know, my experiences in life. And I thought it was how I was supposed to respond to them, with anger and hostility. But as I've grown, I've started to realize that when you shift your thoughts and you shift your behaviors, you start to shift your life. and Dr. Joe Benza is he does phenomenal speeches, and he actually has a book out. The book is called Become Supernatural, and he talks a lot about these kinds of things, and he actually brings up scientific references to, like, the powers of meditation and visualization, and how your emotions will actually affect the chemical reactions in the body. And I don't know if he quotes it in the book yet or not, but I know that you know, your cells, they communicate with each other through many ways, but one of them is through the release of biophotons. And when we have, you know, negative emotions and things like that, they actually create blockages in our electromagnetic field in our body. And it can actually, it creates disease over a period of time. I was watching this documentary over the last couple of days. It's called The Truth About Cancer. And it talks a little bit about that as well. But it's this human mechanism and this thing called life is, it's very complex, yet it's very simple. You know, it ultimately boils down to, you know, the scale of love and fear, or whatever you want to call the, you know, the opposite polarity of light, you know, light, darkness, whatever you want to call. But as you give good things into this world, as you give good things to yourself, you know, the world's going to give good things back to you. Your body's going to give good things back to you. When you're in a positive state of mind, you know, your body's going to be in balance. Your mind's going to be in balance. You're actually going to be thinking more clearly too. So, and there's a lot. I could probably talk all frickin' day on this stuff, but I'll end on that note. I'm very thankful that we were able to have this wonderful talk and a great topic, and I'm going to give Matt the credit for it, because I guess last night of Facebook Live we talked a little bit about it, and I was walking through the woods, like I said, and it came to me today, and I wanted to share a little bit, and it's been such a blessing, so thank you so much.
We certainly appreciate what you shared with us, and it's very important. So I guess in the end game, what we've talked about is important to us. And I want to thank Matt. I want to thank Tori. And I want to thank Keith for everything that they've done. And we'll be back next week. Yes, sir.
Yes, I'd like to just add something really fast, if you don't mind.
No, please.
So in our Vulnerability is Cool topic for day 72, since Keith referenced it and he gave a shout-out to me, I was thank you, Keith. But so the post was very much regarding what I just said on Clubhouse, and it was about online bullying, and we talked about sexual objectification. That is a really big thing, and I saw the post flowing in today. And since we're talking about boundaries, I think it's really important that we just add this in for viewers, so that way they can hear that we're giving a shout out to their story. This is something that women, particularly, but men also deal with. And over the last 3 months, I've gained about 4,000 new followers between Facebook, our group, Clubhouse, and Instagram. So we've gotten a lot of new contacts, and I wake up every day with sometimes dozens of messages of people with these types of comments. And it's just, we need to stop that. And when I've posted on this, we've had men and women post similar stories. And this absolutely plays into this topic of boundaries, about what's appropriate, what's respectful. And I think that we need to have societal conversations about what's appropriate on the internet as it relates to sexual matters, but also just day-to-day interactions, which, as we talk about all the time, is something that we promote within the context of Vulnerability School, and something that we take great, great pride in. So in sum, I just wanted to give a shout-out to this really, really important topic. And again, I want to thank Keith for that shout-out, as well as Tori for making her post tonight on this matter, and as well as Dr. John for being such a big role in us having this platform and promoting our message. So thank you so much, Dr. John.
Look, thank you very much for that. It's much appreciated. And any time that we can promote, well, obviously we promote Vulnerability is Cool, but, you know, the more we can promote it and the more we can promote the topics, that's great. And I think it's wonderful. So thank you so much for that. And just wanted to say we appreciate all of you. And it's about time to say good night. And we'll talk to you actually next week, same times, same bat channel, same bat time. Fair enough.
Absolutely. Have a great night, Dr. John. Much appreciation.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye.